Hi, I'm Michaela, a psychotherapist.
Hi, I'm Savannah, not a psychotherapist.
And this is our podcast, Hippie and a Realist.
Real life conversations about life and happiness.
Hi guys, I'm so excited to announce our guest today, Steph Birch at Steffi Now on Instagram. So incredibly honored to have gotten to sit down with her and just pick her beautiful, messy mind. And so a little about her, she is a 108 yoga instructor. She's a writer and she started the Write Club, which if you haven't checked those out, check out her profile. They are incredible. You join her newsletter and every week she sends you a writer's prompt. And a photographer, as she teaches movement in yoga at multiple places in Sacramento. And she helps people get in touch with their bodies and their emotions through yoga, writing, and capturing them. So click over to her Instagram, check out her website, sign up for her newsletter. She is incredible. And I have one little disclaimer on this podcast, and that is that it's messy. Surprise. She's our first guest, and I did not quite factor in podcasting in a new place. So there is a little bit of echo and hum and hiss and reverb. It's messy and fun and real life. And so bear with us. I hope you enjoy this podcast.
I think we'll just roll with it.
Okay, let's
and we'll just
roll.
See what we got.
Let's just be messy.
I love that. That's what I love. That's my favorite thing about you.
Just messy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I was trying to think about the first time that I like connected with you on Instagram.
I'm trying to remember too.
I feel like it was a long time ago.
Oh, like well over a year ago.
I think at least.
I want to say like 2 years.
Yes. Yeah, I think so.
But my years like kind of jumbled together now.
So I think the post, I think you had tissue in your nose.
Oh, the bloody nose?
I think so.
Probably.
I was stoked that I found someone who was like really being authentic.
Aww.
And that was my favorite thing.
Thank you. My nosebleeds.
I was like, I gotta follow this girl. She's like doing her deal and like not afraid to just be herself.
Well, and it's me like pushing myself to show real awkward, quirky sides too.
Right.
Like, I have to push myself to do that, too. I have to push myself to do that even, like, when I teach yoga. It's like, mm-hmm. to let loose a little bit. Because I can be so, sometimes just so focused mm-hmm. and so grounded.
Yeah.
Like, as
a
Taurus, too, I just feel, like, very earthly and go with the flow. Where I forget to be, or to show my funny, weird, quirky self.
Are you afraid sometimes to put that out there? Or do you feel like intuitively it feels right?
Intuitively it feels mm-hmm. right. And I think when I was, I don't know, like online moving away from making those yoga posts all the time, I was like, well, here it goes.
Here
because
we go.
This is who I am in more of like a broad, but also just beyond like the yoga.
Right. That's there's the thing, so much like more to you than just that one picture that, but you obviously do or have done some sort of Ashtanga or something like that because you do have the ability and the capability, which I think is actually what, at least for me, I loved about you was that, yes, she is speaking her truth. Like she is fully capable of all of this, but she's also not afraid to show this very like human side of her.
Yeah.
And I think that's what I loved.
I got to a point where I want, especially online, wanted to just go, I just want to post like things that were me.
Right. Right. The real things, the real life.
Daily, funny, weird.
Can
I
we,
like to drink beer and...
I love that you post that too because so many yoga people are like, ooh, I'm very, you know, nothing in my body that could be perceived as toxic or whatever. And you're like, no, I like a cold beer, especially in the summer.
Gosh.
I love that. So I didn't know you were a Taurus until just now.
Oh,
and so my husband's also a Taurus.
When's his birthday?
It's May 16th.
Oh, that's my brother's birthday.
No way.
Yeah. My birthday is on the 21st of April.
Oh, okay. So you're at the cusp of Aries then?
Yeah, but I'm not an Aries.
At all.
At all.
You're totally Taurus.
Totally Taurus.
That's funny because he drives me nuts sometimes. This like stubborn bullhorns, you know?
When
he gets it in his mind, it's happening.
Yeah, that's, I would say that's right.
So what is Steven then? What is he?
Gemini.
Oh, so he's my son.
Okay.
Yeah, interesting.
When's your son's birthday?
June 6th. June 5th.
Oh.
What the hell? Yeah, June 5th.
Steve is May 23rd. So he's kind of on the cusp too, but he's definitely a Gemini.
That split personality just totally shifts on you.
Mm-hmm. And very spontaneous, and I don't,
you want
I don't
to plan
do
it.
Well with spontaneity. It takes me time to process things.
Yeah, yeah.
And I also like things my way.
Right? That's so my husband. It's crazy. Like, I really had, at first we would have these battles. We would go to blows over stuff.
Yeah.
And he's like, put your arrow away, Sag. Because I'm like, coming at him. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I'm not so stubborn where I just can't see the other side, but definitely I do like to be grounded. I like routine. I like to eat the same thing every day. I like to drink the same thing every day. Yeah. Practice yoga the same time every day.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Just
comforting.
Just like those things. There are certain things in my daily life that are ritualistic that just keep me like feeling really good.
Yes.
And so, I don't think it's a bad thing either.
It's funny you say that because one of your posts and one of the things that I noted was that you said you make your bed every day.
Yeah.
And I do that too.
I have to.
And I feel like people think I'm weird. They're like, you're just going to get back in it. But I will literally, if I left after my husband and he does not make the bed.
Yeah.
And then I come home, even if it's right before bed.
Me too.
I will make the bed.
Same.
Super weird.
Same.
For yes.
To get in. It's also says that. For me, it says that I care about my comfort. I care about my rest.
Yes.
I also try really, really, really hard to not do any work in my bed.
Yes.
So writing.
Yes.
Editing photos for photography. I try to like keep all work off my bed. And even like the phone, I've been leaving it in the living room more often. Not always if I have if the alarm needs to go off in the mornings, but it's always on do not disturb and airplane mode.
Yes. Wow.
Like always, especially the DND I've had on for weeks. And
so you have that on right now, even just like regular. Mm-hmm. And so you have to cognitively go and choose to look at stuff.
Yeah.
That is awesome. That's really good. I never thought about doing that.
I just needed a boundary. And it helps me to just focus on the one task that I want to do or that I need to do.
Totally. Not get distracted by a blue
or whatever.
Or if
I'm listening to a podcast.
Right, right.
The D&D is still on because I'm just going to listen to the podcast.
Wow.
Maybe do the dishes at the same time. Mm-hmm. Or make the bed.
I'm going to have to try that though, because I do the bedtime at night, but I never thought about doing the D&D during the day.
Yeah.
That's such a good idea.
And I do it for when I teach, so nothing comes through when I'm playing music and classes. And I just started really extending it. I mean, I want to say it's been longer than a few weeks now, like been months. And not that I like was like, oh, I'm going to do this for X amount of time. It was just.
So I remember that you sent out one of your write clubs on a Wednesday was about like being mindful of your screen time. Yeah.
Yeah. I find that when I make a post, I'm definitely on Instagram way more. One, because I don't pre-write my posts. Like, it's super rare if I like send it to myself in an email form and then just copy and paste. I almost never do that. But I like write the post while I'm posting it and then just checking comments.
Sure.
Somebody has a question. Sure. Or I notice that when I make a post, I will also get a lot of DMs. And so I try to answer those.
Yeah.
And I just have this like part of me that wants to like answer people.
Right. And not leave them hanging.
Yeah. And I think it's important to connect with people, but also like there is a fine line of like, I can't get to everyone.
So I was going to ask you that because I think that, you know, this is a piece of things that a lot of people don't see, especially if they're not at like maybe the level of followership that you are, and they do maybe feel offended by like, oh, yeah, why didn't she reply back to me or something like that. But it sounds to me like it's really a timing issue for you. It's about having quality time still left in your day.
Yeah. Yeah. Or I just go, everybody has access to my email. You just click the link in my bio on social and you can message me through email and I'll get back to you.
Eventually.
Always. Yeah. Like, if I miss it, it's because of a write club. And so many people have responded to write club and shared their prompts with me, which is very sweet. And I read them all. I just might not respond to them all.
So it's funny because I've had to withhold replying to your emails because I'm like, I know she's getting so many, but I so want to say what I you know, so I'm being more mindful about like when I reply back to them. Like sometimes I just save it for myself. And then sometimes I will, seen, I email you, but your write clubs, I think are one of the most unique, most unique things I've ever seen offered anywhere. And really, truly, like you are so authentic and so yourself in them. And I know that I know from even putting myself out there sometimes how hard it can be to take a real story, like your real life, and then put it out there like you do.
And then it's amazing. Come up with a prompt for it.
But they're beautiful and they're always so energetically and universally like, I so needed that this week. And I really feel that all the time when you put them out.
Well, and I also think like that's how connected we all humans are.
Yes.
We are connected. And
yeah.
The Write Club has been such a fun, cool, sometimes really challenging thing for me because I never want the prompts or my stories or my opinions to come across as like, I know better.
Right.
And so I know that sometimes tone can get lost, or if I'm writing them really fast and I don't edit, which I'm trying to not edit so
right.
much. I'm letting the spelling errors be there. I'm letting just awful grammar. And there's a part of me that wants to go back and fix them. And the student or the people pleaser or like the, like, don't have any mistakes, don't show your mistakes part of me wants to control that. And then I just go, no, you can't, like, don't do it. Like, let it be messy because this is also your message. And this is also my work, is to be messy and kind of loose, if you will, because I'm not that loose anymore.
But you so pull it off. It's just beautiful. And it's funny. So when I was like up this morning, kind of thinking about how this podcast would go, I'm like, you know what? I don't have to think about how this podcast will go with her because it's just going to flow exactly as it's meant to flow. And that's what I think is so beautiful about your words and your style. And one of the things that I admire a lot, because I suck at this. I grew up very prude. Like, you know, you don't, and I have huge boobs and I constantly have to hide them because like even as a young girl and I want super long legs, all the shorts were too short and all the shirts were cleavage. And so my whole life, you know, if it wasn't from my mom and dad who were saying like, cover up, it was teachers or it was whatever. Yeah. And it's like, I'm not trying to be maybe this expressive in a bad way. This is just my body. This is just who I am.
Yeah.
And I feel like you have such a beautiful way of, and I'll use the term exposing without
being tenderness of honesty.
Yes.
Like just saying what's real.
Yes, exactly. Like you're, you know, and I don't know how you do that.
I really don't know either. I mean, I guess I could say like there for a few years I did some modeling. So I do know how to pose I know how to, I used to coach women and girls and teens how to walk a runway,
how
to pose in front of a camera for lifestyle shots.
Oh, this is awesome.
And even fashion stuff. So I used to teach people how to do that too.
So some of it's just knowing like, and this is what's going to be more flattering.
Just knowing your angles or knowing my angles. And so that's a part of it. And the other part is just very natural. I don't know. My mom was born in Germany, and I saw, like, growing up, I saw my grandmother be naked. I saw my mom be naked. Just, like, it wasn't a big deal ever. I would be getting ready in the morning. She's coming out of the shower. And it never was a weird thing to me.
Wow.
And I think with my mom, too, I never heard her complain about her body. And I saw her body change. I mean, I'm the oldest of five kids.
Right.
And, like, I saw her body change, and I just always thought, like, that's what a body looks like after having all those kids.
Wow.
And it wasn't, like, I never heard her complain about her body. Now she's older, and she's got some health stuff going on, but, like, some thyroid issues, and now this is, like, the first time I've heard her be kind of, like, oh, I'm gaining weight here and I don't know why, and this and that. But growing up, I've never heard her complain about her body ever.
So that must have had some sort of impact on you from a modeling standpoint. Like, and I mean modeling as in, you know, what you grew up seeing is kind of what you learned.
Like, this is how women are supposed to look.
That is so, I think that is one
and
of the
all the ways.
Right, right. From no kid or from one kid to five and through all the years. And I think other cultures are really good at embracing that. Like, even if you just look at statues of women in Europe, you know, and they're,
they all have pot bellies.
Yes, exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
But they're like
wonky.
They're actually boobs.
Yeah. And they're like admired for that. They're admired. And I think other cultures, it's a sign of health even, like, you know, being fuller in your bodily expression is healthy.
Well, it's so feminine too. Like, feminine is to be emotional, wild, but also really soft. So even just the portrayal of a woman's body being soft.
Yes.
Is part of the feminine.
Yes.
And I feel like if I were to talk about, like, something that makes me feel insecure is how skinny I am. Like, that's an insecurity for me because I feel sometimes I'm not feminine or womanly. I'm very just stick figure.
But you're perfect. Perfect.
Like,
but I know what you're saying.
I'm gonna express, like,
and insecurity, that's what
feel.
It is.
Yeah. And I know this is one of the reasons why I work so hard physically and love really good challenging yoga practice, or I used to go, like, run. Mm-hmm. I used to do Pilates too. Mm-hmm. And I used to play competitive sports, but, like, I loved always working really hard because feeling strong in my body makes me feel powerful and, like, into myself, and it makes me feel confident when I'm strong. Because I feel like being the skinny person, a man can overpower me very easily.
Right,
so I just, I'm, like, strong so I can
hike out. So perfectly segues into the topic of intuition. So something that my mom always said, and I grew up with a British mom, right?
Yeah.
So it was like, my grandmother was like, go fix your face. You know, like, that's what I grew up with. That's just that very, like, cut and dry. My mom never said that to me, but my grandmother certainly did. But my mom always used to say that men are given brute strength, women are given the gift of intuition. Mm-hmm. And so I, now I realize that's a gender, very distinct gender, but
sure.
Aside from all of that, one of the things that I was hoping to talk to you about is your experience that you had with intuition and listening to it. And what does that mean? And
well, when I was a kid, there were, I'll call them intuitive hits, just knowing things about adults without them saying things out loud. So my biological parents had me when they were in high school, and I'll leave it at that. They were super young. And
can you imagine having a kid at like 17?
No,
that's when my mom had me.
Oh, I was such an asshole at 17 right? and 16. Like, right? I remember telling my mom, like, I can't believe you had me as a kid. It was so dumb. And I would say really yeah. mean things yeah. like that. And like, I'll never be like you. I'll never do this. And I feel...
I said those same things
really
too.
I feel really terrible. Mm-hmm. Still, like, there's mm-hmm. part of me that goes, wow.
That was a butthole thing to say. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. I've been on that journey yeah. myself. And I don't think I circled back with my mom until I had my son. And was like, this is fucking hard. Like, yeah. I can't believe you did this.
I go, I don't know how you did this.
Right. It's crazy.
I don't know how you did this.
I can't imagine like my 17-year-old self having a kid. It was hard like my 30-year-old self having a kid.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
I had been at 28. That was hard.
It's yeah. Really hard. And I feel like I had like a life that I lived and an identity before. I can't imagine how my mom just kind of not even having her own real identity yet, getting thrown into that. And I think this is kind of ties into a lot of what you talk about, which is holy womanhood and women lifting each other up. Mm-hmm. And I saw a really cool meme the other day that said, I hope we all make it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't need to compete with you. Like, I want all of us to,
yeah.
And that's how it used to be. Like,
we're
back in the day.
Deserving.
Yeah. Yeah.
We all deserve to make it.
Mm-hmm.
And we should be lifting each other, like be forklifts.
I love that. I love that analogy. That would be a really cool art. Wouldn't that be so neat?
Like a forklift?
Yes.
Like,
yes. With like maybe yeah. two women like lifting it and one on top.
Yeah.
That would be epic.
Oh.
You need to do that.
Maybe I need to sketch that.
I think you need to sketch that. Yes. I want to see that.
Yeah.
So you were saying that as even a kid, you had these intuitive hits, you call them.
Yeah. So it was really tricky in my early life, just having two parents kind of, I wouldn't say that they were at war, but I definitely knew there was stuff going on behind the scenes or hushed tones being said as far mm-hmm. as like how to like raise me, mm-hmm, visitation mm-hmm. and things yeah. like that. And I think I also learned that I didn't have to trust adults or that I didn't trust adults. And I learned how to have a boundary at a very young age
wow.
too, like intuitively. Mm-hmm. My biological dad, it was tough between like his dynamic with my stepdad and then my mom. Although I never heard I lived with my mom and my stepdad. My stepdad has been around since I was born, but like I never heard my mom say anything negative
mm-hmm.
about
mm-hmm.
my biological dad ever.
Mm-hmm.
And there came to like at a point when I was about 11, I think fifth or sixth grade, I had been visiting him every other weekend. I met him when I was like 4 or 5.
Mm-hmm.
And then I didn't want to. He had anger issues mm-hmm. and he like was, I didn't know what it was at the time. Like as a kid, I was like, this
it doesn't feel right.
Is off and
in your gut.
Doesn't feel right. And so, and I had like other siblings that I lived with and my parents, they would always go to Santa Cruz or mm-hmm. Tahoe on the weekends. And
I don't want to miss out.
And I just, like, didn't right. want to miss out on
right.
the fun.
Right.
And I'd go to his house and it was kind of boring.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And then one day I was just like, I don't want to come. I don't want to visit you anymore.
I think I'm done.
I'm done.
How powerful at your age to set a boundary like that.
I was like 11.
That's incredible.
It was the summer of fifth grade. I remember because it was before braces.
So this would be your first example of like really, truly listening to your gut and mm-hmm. responding to it.
Yeah.
Because how many of us hear messages and then my husband always says, if only I'd listened to my gut, if only yeah. I'd listened to my gut. And then we get ourselves in these messes mm-hmm. and we knew better
mm-hmm.
and we didn't listen.
Yeah.
I wonder why that is.
I think I just felt really unsafe.
Yeah.
There's a part of me, even at that time, that knew something was off. it didn't feel safe, and I was gonna like speak up about it. And then it was like a really shocking moment because he started screaming at the phone, and
oh boy,
it scared me. And then
my
stepdad got on the phone, and then I could hear both of them like arguing, and
oh wow,
I was crying, and, mm-hmm. and I think my family was getting ready to go to the river or something. Everybody was like all packed up, or I can't remember the exact details, but I just remember like, just get off the phone so we can leave. Just get off the phone so we can go. Like, because I really wanted to
have
go. And also, it was, I don't know, the things that he said on the phone, and I know we've rekindled our relationship. Mm-hmm. And it was still very scary. And I still can, like, go back and feel like what I felt then. Like,
wow.
I don't trust you, even if you are my biological parent.
So I think our brain does have the ability to store that for survival.
You know,
so that if I'm put in this situation again in the future, I can draw from that experience and remember, which is probably part of what contributes to how you were describing feeling strong or wanting to feel strong and stuff. That's probably all tied together.
Yes.
It's somewhere just intuitively, that's kind of like how you migrated.
Yeah.
Which is incredible.
Yeah. I feel like, well, not I feel like, I know, like, everything is connected. This is just a universal truth. Everything is connected.
So how many people, though, don't know? Like, it's funny because I wrote this down too, but I'm like, why is it that people who get it, like, all are in, like, I talk to you, I talk to, you know, and people that get it, and they're all like coming together, like they're being drawn to each other in some way. And then I feel like there's people that don't, and I'm not saying maybe they just haven't had that experience yet.
Or I also believe that people choose, like in, like our souls choose a life, this physical life, and then you'll choose another life and another life and another life. Mm-hmm. And in this plane, I've chosen this life and these lessons. And there's a really big part of me that does believe, like, when you die, like, you are born again with the same consciousness that you died with.
So you're taking it with you.
Evolving.
Yeah. Yeah.
Always.
And so some have had more lifetimes then to tune into it.
Just develop that part of... Mm-hmm. whatever they needed to work through to, like, get to the next.
Yes, I have.
And I know this sounds so hippie and, like...
I get it. I get it. Right? I totally get it. I have this lady tell me that she's... I still consider her to be one of my greatest mentors ever. She's my first yoga instructor. And she's like, it's okay. She's like, we've already met. We've already had a lifetime together. She's all, this is just my role in this one with you. And I was like... wacko, what are you talking about? But I get it now. And I do think we had some sort of soul connection in another way, because it was like when we met, there was no, it was just so easy, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't know. I also believe that we don't need an explanation for everything. We don't.
And then we try to get it. And that's when shit gets screwed up.
And my brain wants to go, I need closure. I need to know why this person treated me this way, because I feel like if I knew their why, I would soften around that situation, you know? But we don't need to know why. We just need to forgive it.
So I have to say, because this is audio, right? But I wish I had a camera on you for that part, because it was miraculous what you were doing with your hands and your eyes closed. And there was so much passion happening that you can't see on audio. I love that. Yeah. But I agree. I think I fight to find, like, the why a lot. And it doesn't usually get me anywhere except more whatever I was feeling when I started, you know?
Or the feeling on top of the feeling, just the progressive angst of not receiving an answer, or just digging into the hole of whatever that emotional feeling is and the situation, and just...
And you call out your why a lot in the write clubs and the prompts. And I love that, because it just shifts your mind on, like, well, what are you trying to accomplish here? Because maybe that's not what you should be looking for. Yeah. Maybe there's something else in here that is more meaningful, or you're going to take more away from. I love those prompts. Yeah. Love the why prompts.
I see that in classes often too, in yoga classes. Like, why are you here? Only you can answer that.
Yeah, right.
And then come back to your why.
Yeah.
You know why you're here. You know why you showed up.
I love that you can't lie to yourself.
No.
Like, be honest.
Yeah. We take responsibility when we come back to our own why, and we keep the integrity of that alignment, what we want to bring into our lives. Mm-hmm. Like, I am responsible for the energy I take on and the energy I give out. And if I let somebody else wind me up, that means I'm taking on something that I don't have to. And granted, I go, dang it.
Why did I do that? Oh, I've had so much of that lately. Mm-hmm. Like, so many. And my husband will even straight up say, like, why are you letting them do that to you? Why are you letting them, you know? And it's like, oh yeah, that's a good point. I don't know. I just want to be mad, I guess.
I also really want to help people.
So how much of a pickle do you get yourself in from, like, trying to help and trying to, that's frustrating.
Yeah. I also believe in the goodness of people. I believe that people can change in an instant. Even if they were really messed up to me like 24 hours ago, I do believe somebody can change and rectify and we can evolve in a relationship. I have faith in people.
That's a beautiful gift that you should not let go of ever.
Well, sometimes I really do want to let go
of it. Like, I don't want this gift anymore. Take this one.
Yeah, I think about it when it comes to my biological dad, like, and working through, so coming back to, like, that 11-year-old Steph and that situation and that, like, it was pretty traumatic. At age 16, I wrote him a letter and I said something along the lines of, I forgive you, it was something about how I think that since you are my dad, you should be in my life. Here's me reaching out at 16.
Wow. That's almost like saint status. If you can find that space of empathy to forgive, and that's like, to me, that's like saint status.
And I'm like, who is that teenager?
Right.
She's been there all along.
Right.
Also set a heart boundary at one point. Wow. Stood up for herself.
Which probably created the space for you to be able to do what you did at 16.
Yeah.
Wow. That's incredible. So this letter that you wrote, did you mail it or did you hold it?
I mailed it.
You did.
Yeah. Because he still lived in the same house. It wasn't like he lived really far. And I just said to my mom, I'm going to write Terry a letter and I need a stamp.
It's incredible. Like, okay. Sometimes you would get irritated when somebody would ask, like, do you need something? Like, you'd take it like that. And it makes me wonder if they didn't intuitively feel something that inspired them to ask you. And you said you're working on being more open when people do that. And I think about that often because I think I'm one of those people that does that and people get annoyed, you know?
But thank God for you. I'm serious, because thank God, I said this just last night. Thank God we are checking in with each other.
Like, how many times do people say, do you need something? But really, they want you to say no.
Yeah.
I think we've created that a little bit, you know?
Or that, the common courtesy, politeness, but not really have meaning or action behind it.
Exactly.
Like, we're just doing it to be polite.
Yes.
However, saying it without meaning is really impolite.
Right. Exactly.
And not helpful and just
rude.
Rude.
When someone says, are you okay? They want you to say, yeah, I'm fine. Mm-hmm. But if you're like, no, this, and they're like, wait, whoa, I didn't want an answer like that. You know, I feel that way sometimes. Yeah.
When I will still catch myself, if somebody asks, like, how are you doing? I'll say, I'm great, or I'm fine, or I'm okay. And then I go, actually, I'm not okay. Right. I have a ton on my plate right now. I'm overwhelmed. That's actually my answer.
And then what do people do? Do you get good responses?
Like, a little stiff sometimes, yeah. But also like, okay.
Thank you for your honesty.
Yeah.
We need more of that. Yeah. We need more of that, like, honest communication.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And not being afraid to speak our truth.
Yes. 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 Because even just when I used to get upset with people going, are you okay? You look tired.
I'm going to punch you in the face right now.
Like, don't tell me I look tired.
Yeah.
Rude. And like, but there's truth to that.
Yeah.
Or maybe I'm literally thinking of something that's tiring my brain out because I've been running through a situation that I haven't taken care of, or just emotionally tired from something that I haven't like set a boundary with. So yeah, I am probably tired. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I just don't want to admit it because I don't want you to see like how messy I am.
But I swear, of all the people that I've ever met, you are so glamorously messy. Like, truly, like, you're just like, here I am, and I just woke up and I look amazing. Like, but in a natural way.
Steve will probably go,
I remember when we were doing the 1 minute videos.
Yeah.
One was like, wake and take.
Oh, yeah.
And my husband was like, yeah, I don't know. That's not your best. I'm like, okay. Thank you for that.
Yeah. But that one was a good one.
That was a good one. That's like real raw.
The thing about videos is that, well, I think now there's apps to put filters on them, which I think is so lame. But I would say for the most part, you can't put a filter video.
You're getting what you get.
Yeah.
You can't like modify it.
No.
It is what it is. And you do that too. You put a lot of videos that are like, this is my blooper reel. This is what's happening right now. Yeah. You know?
Well, I also think it's really important for me to, if I'm going to do things online, not always, and just share pictures, I think it's important for me to not always have makeup on or have clean clothes on.
Yes. Yeah.
Because this is in the moment.
So I wanted to circle back on this whole thing that happened, if you have time, with the car.
Okay.
Because I feel there was so much to it. And
so, such a trip.
Yes. So tell the story. I got to hear the whole story.
So I had a dream that I was driving down Capital City Freeway, if you live in Sacramento, that my car was going to lose power, literally shut off on the freeway at this particular point on the freeway. Like, my dream was in full color. It was, I had all the details, like sun is in the back seat, like the way it always is.
I'm getting chills right now. Just hearing.
Yeah, just driving. And in my dream, I was able to pull off safely. Anyway, I woke up the next morning, Ben and I were going to go have breakfast with my parents in Roseville. And there was a part of me that's like, okay, I know that dream. I know it's going to happen.
Did you feel sick when you woke up a little bit? Or was it just like, oh, it was a weird dream kind of thing?
I was like, this is going to happen.
Oh my gosh.
I already knew. Oh. I was like, go to breakfast anyway.
Oh my gosh.
Do it. Like, just go and do it. And then there was a part of me when I was leaving, I was like, maybe instead of Cap City, I should go down 16th and get on 160. Like, no, but my car breaks down.
Oh my God. And when?
Yeah, I was like, I didn't want to be
in unknown territory.
Well,
and 160 bottlenecks.
Yeah, and to get to 160, I don't want to break down on 16th Street. In some parts of this, it's not like a great neighborhood. So I was like, go on Cap City. Lo and behold, driving. Bennett's reading his book in the back seat. It's like, the car loses power. I purposely drove in the slow lane because I knew.
I just cannot believe that this happened. Like I can't even, but I can.
Yeah.
I can, but I can't. You know what I mean? So you say your car lost power. It just, the alternator. It was the alternator, right? Oh,
yeah. God. So everything just shut off. I was going over, just over the speed limit, not crazy. Because I just knew. I coasted off the same exact spot.
I can't believe that.
Mm-hmm. And then after, like,
you're shaking.
I'm like, okay, well, then it goes, Mama, this isn't the restaurant. No, we're over by Cal Expo. I was like, nobody. The car lost power, and it's not going to start again.
The fact that you knew that, like, right? Because cars can break down, but you knew exactly what was wrong with it. You knew.
I just knew it was going to lose power. I didn't know exactly that it was the alternator.
Right. Right.
But I knew it was going to lose power.
And not turn back on. Not that you were out of gas. Not that it, I mean.
Don't take gas. So, yeah. And then I sat for a moment and he was like, oh, okay. And I was like, don't worry. I'll call dad or I'll call grandpa. And I just was like, don't cry. Don't cry. Just stay calm. Take some breaths. Like, it's fine. It's totally fine.
You described like a ringing in your ears.
Yeah,
like,
I get that. Just like the
emotion of it.
Yeah. I don't know how to explain, like, a surreal, a culmination of, like, whatever that was. I don't know what to call it.
I have so many thoughts on it. Like, I'm trying to, like, even put my thoughts together, but I sometimes think when we get that, the ringing you're describing, it's because it's silencing the world so we can listen more. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I know that sounds really goofy, but I feel like it's part of, like, the whole,
like,
vibrational,
like, hone in, focus, meditation, flow state, all the things.
Exactly. And I think it's, like, a really powerful tool and gift that some people don't even get or can experience, actually.
Well, and I've had very strong intuitive hits throughout my life. Even one, when I was going to Mexico right before I turned 21 with a friend, like, driving to Mexico, we drove in the middle of the night. I used to live in San Diego.
Did not know that.
Yeah, I lived there for
a while. We have so many similarities.
Oh!
Yes, we probably know some of the same people.
Probably.
Wow, that's crazy.
And I knew it was going to be a life and death situation, but I didn't know, like, what was going to happen. I didn't have, like, a dream so detailed like the one I had with the car incident months ago, or from last month. And
so do they come to you in dreams, or sometimes can they just come to you, like, in the day, like a feeling?
Dreams, a feeling during the day. Yeah, just, or like a gut, like a bot, my body is like, or even just feeling safe or unsafe around people. It's kind of like children. Bennett was like, he would not run up to just anybody to get
them. Right? Isn't that crazy?
And kids just know, or people that would say hello in the grocery store.
I think that, so you mentioned a couple different ways that you get intuitive hits. I like that you describe them as hits.
Well, and when I think back to the Mexico incident, when we were pulled over in the middle of the night and asked to get out of the car.
Oh boy.
By the police
or Gestapo or whatever.
I don't know really who they were. That same ringing in my ear, and that experience, I literally felt like I was out of body and looking down at the situation that was taking place.
And going, no, 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 it's not right.
Even when it was happening, like, I was like, I'm just watching what's happening.
Wow.
From somewhere else.
Wow.
Like, I could see the ocean, because we're on the one in Mexico. Like, I could see, like, I was panned out looking down at the situation.
Just getting all sorts of, like, ooh. So I want to tell you about, so I think I mentioned about our car accident. So Tucker and I were going to school. It was one of those days where we had, like, plenty of time, no hurry.
Yeah.
And there was a semi truck in front of me, and I went through the first passing lane, and we're cruising like 45, and I'm like, I'm not going to pass him. We got plenty of time to get to school. Yeah. Tucker's singing the Christmas carol or holiday carol that he was going to be performing. And so the next passing lane comes up, and in the weeks prior, I kept having this feeling something bad is going to happen, and it's going to happen in the car. Like, I didn't know where, but I just knew that it was really weird. Like, I remember testing my brakes, like pumping my brakes to see what they would do. I just had this feeling something bad was going to happen. And so, gosh, it just gives me the willies. So the next passing lane came up, and the big semi truck pulled to the side.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, oh, he wants me to pass him. We live in a rural area. There's two lane highway. Yes. And that's a common thing.
Yes.
And so I thought he was pulling to the side to let us pass. So I half pulled into the oncoming traffic lane to pass him, like just two wheels, and we're going. And all of a sudden, I still get willies. All of a sudden, the semi truck turns left, like he's making a U-turn. And so Tucker's still singing in the back seat, and all of a sudden he slams in right before he slams into the passenger side. I look to the left, which is really weird. Yeah. That's a really weird thing to do. And he's coming this way, and I see this telephone pole, two of them, and I'm like, we're gonna hit those. Mm-hmm. And so at the last second, I crank the steering wheel into the accident. Nobody does that. It's mm-hmm. just, you swerve away. You know? Yeah. So I crank the steering wheel into the accident. He hits us, sends us sailing. We missed the first telephone pole by, like, I mean, hairs. And then we hit the back end of the second telephone pole. So we had like total airbag deployment, the whole thing. But it changed my life. And I tell people that it was me, but it wasn't me.
Yeah.
It was some other, like you're describing, I wasn't really there. I was there, but I wasn't really there.
Yeah.
And the things that I did were just not like natural, but I feel like I prepared for them in the days prior, like in some weird way, like with my brakes and with my steering and like, I just knew. And,
just knowing something is going to happen, it was a preparation of like straight up calm and like trying in your situation, like trying to avoid that hole
and hold the wheel, and, like,
hold the wheel to turn into the accident.
Yes. And I was holding on for like dear life. I mean, the whole steering wheel was shaking because we're off-roading at that point.
Yeah,
it was crazy. And then I had that ringing in the ears that you described. Like everything, it was so weird. And then it was almost like a birthday party because all the airbags went off.
Yeah.
And I heard nothing. And I did not know how Tucker was or anything. And all of a sudden I hear, Mommy, we've been in a bad accident. I'm like, And then I got out and ripped open his door, which was all mangled. And he was still holding his English muffin. But I felt prepared and eerily calm, like you're describing.
Eerily calm.
Just weird.
Even the getting pulled over in Mexico and just that situation, I won't go into detail, but eerily calm.
Isn't that weird?
I knew something bad was going to happen.
How do you listen to your gut or listen to your intuition? Like, what do you have to do to tap into this kind of underworld, so to speak?
I have to get really quiet in order to listen to my intuition or gut, or really take the time every day to check in with myself. I find when I'm overloaded or busy or filling myself, those are the hardest times to listen to my gut or intuition. Or when I'm distracted, really. Or probably, perhaps, avoiding. Just a daily check-in, not to say that something immediately comes up, but making time and space for myself to just be really quiet. So meditation or a time of not doing anything. And that allows me to really trust what comes up in situations, experiences, or things with other people when I don't feel something is jiving or working well with other people or situations or experiences. I know that I've given myself time to tune in and I can trust what comes up in the moment. Anytime.
I think the dream state is really interesting. Like all sorts of, have you done the cacao dream journey yet? You've got to do that.
And there is a book that's about dreams and premonitions from somebody. I cannot remember the name.
If you remember, we can link it in the podcast.
Yeah, I'll find it because I have also gotten that as a message, especially after that Right Club with the car story. There is something about dreams in particular that I think is so good to look into for the psyche or for meaning.
Mm-hmm.
I will often like look up what this dream meaning means. Like, even just last week, I had a dream that all my teeth fell out.
I hate those ones. Yeah, those are the worst.
But I was like, I gotta look it up again, even though I've had this before.
I've looked this one up. Yeah. I have a dream. I have a dream journey or a dream book at home that tells you, like, I keep it by the bed because I think I forget them as the day goes on.
Yeah.
Like, I wake up and remember. To, like,
write them down.
Yes, exactly. But I have.
Unless they happen in real life, too.
Like, oh shit.
Like, I won't forget that dream.
But the disturbing ones are the ones we remember the most. Yeah. Like, you know, you can wake up and remember a good dream for like a minute, but it's the ones that really were like, why? I dreamt I had black smoke coming out of my ear the other day.
What does that mean?
Well, I don't know. I didn't look it up yet, but I feel like it's not right.
I would immediately
that's a bad one.
Look it up. Like, that is
gross and weird.
That is weird. Mm-hmm. Still, I would look up black smoke.
That's just, I don't even want to. Like, I don't even want to know what it's going to say.
But it could say something like...
releasing bad tension. Right? Steaming off the bad in the world.
Letting go.
Right? Let's hope for that. And not like, oh, you have a brain tumor.
Letting go of, like, negative energy.
Yeah. But maybe that's what it is. Oh, you know what? I had something happen right before that. And I bet that's what it was. I'm going to look it up.
Now you need to look
it up. I know, I'm going to. And now everyone listening is like, she had black smoke. Weirdo. My aunt always comes to me in my dreams in beautiful places. Mm-hmm. And she always had, her and my grandma always come. And they always have these really like inspirational spiritual messages. And they're very peaceful, you know, shroud in love and light kind of thing. Yeah. Whenever my grandma comes, it's interesting because she's always like standing on one side of a bridge. Yeah. And I'm on the other. And she's saying, Kaylee, come here. Yeah, like, so she's encouraged. She's always encouraging me to do something.
Yeah.
But the other night, this was about a month ago, I had a dream. I was in the kitchen with my aunt. She's loved to cook. And everybody says I'm a lot like her, like, all sorts of ways. And I was so happy that she was, because when she comes, it's such a good thing.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, my aunt, my other aunt, her sister, who's still alive, was in the dream. And she said, it's not her. Look at her. It's not her. And I turned around and her eyes were red and she was dark and evil and she was mad about something that my uncle was saying.
Oh my gosh, I'm getting chills.
Yeah. And I was so angry. I was so upset. I wanted to go get white sage and Palo Santo and I wanted to clear it. I woke up so upset that I actually like said out loud, don't do that again. Yeah. I don't like that. Isn't that weird?
You know, now that we're talking about dreams and we were talking before, like, have dreams happen like this, like, now that I even reflect more, my great grandmother has visited me in my dreams and she technically was my step great grandmother. However, we called her Kung Kong and just this teeny tiny Puerto Rican woman.
Oh.
Like, by the end of her life, was only speaking Spanish. But she has visited me. And the last time it was about when Bennett was 3 and I felt her sit on the bed next to me and put her hand like on me.
Wow.
Like I felt the pressure, like physically.
Yeah.
The pressure of her sitting, the pressure of her hand, and I was dead asleep. And she said that you have always been my great granddaughter.
Oh wow.
And she said, and you are a really great mom.
Wow.
And I was like,
and you know she was there. That's the
grandfather assisted me too. A lot of sitting on the edge of the bed.
Isn't it comforting though? Mm-hmm. Like there's something very comforting about it. Yeah.
When Bennett was little, around that age too, we were driving past this cemetery that's right around the corner from our house now, but we weren't living here. And he said, my great grandfather is buried there. And I was like, he's not buried in this one, but he also said like, or he's in a place like that.
Oh, and he knew.
And I was like, wow, he died way before I was pregnant with him.
Uh-huh.
And then he would just like describe what he looked like because I was just asking him questions. Mm-hmm. What do you say? And he goes, I know my great grandfather. Like, okay, just keep nurturing that.
Right.
Whatever that is. I don't know. Yeah.
But like, kids are so, I think they're so intuitive that, like, I think they have the ability to just transcend that. Tucker will often say, Mommy, are you sure this isn't a dream? Mm-hmm. Like, he's almost got some, you know, and I feel like he experiences things in just a different way. And I don't want him to lose it, whatever it is, you know.
Just ask questions.
Yeah. And I go, well, some people think it's a dream, you know, and I go, I feel very real, but maybe I'm just all a part of your dream. Who knows? Like, that's a great question.
Yeah. Beautiful. Yeah, but it's been talking a lot about that lately too. And he's like, well, what happens to us after? And I said, well, I think we go on into another life and we experience something else. And he's like, yeah, so we're always here.
Oh, wow. That they say is the craziest.
We're always here.
And you're like, yes.
Yes.
We are.
And drop everything and just be here.
I think we need to end on that. That's just
always here.
Beautiful.
This has been a BU Find Happy podcast. For more inspiration, check out our links.
Whoa, is that?
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.